Blog Talk Radio.
I worship you. Good evening, everybody. I'm Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, 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 welcome to post election night 2022. My, 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 what a year this has been. Here we are voting already in November. And what a year it's been. We've seen some interesting things happen. I'm still looking for 15 politicians to flip the side of the aisle and get over with the God lovers instead of the God haters. And I think I can see five already, but I'm sure there's been more that I just don't know about it. So if you know the story, somebody coming out very bold for the kingdom of God and for righteousness, make sure you share that with me, because I want to be able to see it so I can mark it down. We can give God the glory and the honor and the praise. Because God is really doing a very mighty work in this whole election. I hope you've been praying all day long like we have, because this needs prayer. Nothing on this earth happens until people pray. And so we're going to have a great night tonight. I got to get some stuff happening here because for some reason it didn't happen all the way through. There we go. That's better. Join with us because we're going to talk about voting tonight according to the Word of God and our founding fathers' statements about voting. I've got two different videos from Brother David Barton's organization. Actually, one's a video of him. The other one is an audio of his son on a podcast. And it's going to talk about the importance of local elections. And you know, since this is election time, we might as well just be focused on the election and help people realize and understand what's really going on. If there's ever been a time in America that we cannot afford to play games during the election, it is right now in this election. We cannot afford to play games in any sense of the word. God help us to stand in faith and live in faith and be in faith and take it all the way to the end, through tomorrow night. Now, let's see. What do we want to do first? Anybody got an idea? I think I want to read these words by our founding fathers. That'll be first. But let's not start without prayer. Whoops. I'll click the right button here directly. Phew. You know, when we started, we had a lot of buttons to click. But we pretty much knew those. And I don't think we got too many more now than what we used to have, but let's try this. There we go. So Somewhere I'm going to find my screen. There it is. Nothing more important than on post-election night than to be sure we make our Pledge of Allegiance. So, if you will, rise together with me, and we'll make our Pledge of Allegiance. We've done this most every day, and in the 2007 through 2011, I promised the families of the fallen I would never forget them. And as long as God gave me a voice, I would use it to honor their loved ones. And not every day, but almost every day since then, we have honored the families of the fallen and their hero who gave their life so willingly. Let's make our Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, if you will, join me in a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who are still serving, those who, because of combat, bear the scars of freedom in their spirit, their soul, and their body, those who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence is in honor, will last for 21 seconds, in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. Now, if you will, let's sing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. And now, join with us there at your house, and let's pray our opening prayer that we pray almost every time we're here. We pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God. and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As we minister to the saints around the world, according to God's holy living word, God sees our determination to change our world. God will never be unjust and forget our work and labor of love which we have shown toward his name, and that we have ministered to the saints here and around the world. My life is a seed. I am sowing now to bless others. I give, and I know that what I give will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it will be put into my life. For with the same measure that I use to sow, it will be measured back to me in that same measure. We fulfill the Great Commission today, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, I am with you all the way to the end of the age. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. Thank you, Father, for that blessing. As Jesus instructs, we agree together for the victory. Matthew 18:18-20. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. All across the body of Christ today, all around America, Father, wherever there may be a church event, a prayer meeting, an intercessory prayer group, a political rally happening tonight, we speak Psalm 91 over them, the angels of God surrounding, protecting, keeping them all safe, and that they begin with the name of Jesus and they end with prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. There's one body and there's one spirit. Just as we were called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life right now. Father, we lift our hands together tonight, and we connect with every, in the realm of the spirit, we connect with every prayer partner, prayer warrior, intercessory prayer group that's going on around America right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, may they be filled with fire and anointing and a power and strength, and may it be focused on you, Jesus. One body, Jesus' body. One spirit, the Holy Spirit. Break down the walls of division so we can stand together and get something mighty accomplished. We pray this right now in Jesus' mighty name. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of every martyr, every fallen soldier, every child that's been aborted cries out today. Father, bring heaven's justice against these workers of iniquity who pervert our justice system and destroy our children. We ask for your mercy. We repent of the sins of this nation. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and heal our land. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation, and we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundance blessings in and on this land. The preamble to the Constitution. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. As we the people, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I can tell that there's someone tonight saying, why are we saying all this? Because if you and I don't proclaim this out of our lips, we got to proclaim it right out of our lips. If we don't proclaim this out of our lips, out loud into the realm of the spirit, then all of these truths will fall to the ground. We must join our voices with the voices of every great patriot leader of our day who's out there making it happen. And when we do, the angels grab these words and they go speedily and hastily through the eternal realms, making a difference in this nation. Our patriot prayer of dedication. This is Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, the portion that was speaking about those who had fallen. Say it with me. Pray it with me. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And now, no better night ever to speak the declarations crushing the isms than tonight. Let's pray for it. First, Father, in Jesus' name, crush every ism in this country tonight. Crush all their plans, all their secret meetings, all of their forecast, all of their planning, all of their investing in it. Crush them all. May there not even be a sight of it. All those plans. May their email not work and their text fail. But Lord, please help these people come to their senses. I know many of them hate you, they're reprobate. Help them come to their senses, Jesus. Those that are deceived, may they run. Just turn tail and run away from them. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Turn every election. Lord, please help people pay attention to the voting that they must do in their community. Know the proposals so we don't enact as law something stupid, ignorant, and perverse in the mighty name of Jesus. Here we go. Say it boldly. You got to say it out loud for it to have power. Jesus said, he who speaks to the mountain in the name, high above every name, high above every principality, high above every power, might, and dominion. In the name of Jesus, we stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, and we bind all of the effects of the isms, atheism, secular humanism, communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, and all the isms. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. Righteousness exalts this nation. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. To all the isms, you have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you, not our Bibles, not our Constitution, or our rifles. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to our God and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. We declare that every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. Every pit you have dug for freedom, liberty, and the United States of America to fall into, you fall into yourself and are destroyed immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 144:14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls. We are rebuilding the walls of righteousness. In Jesus' name, we boldly declare, we will not allow the lies and deception to function hidden from the light of your word any longer. We ask you for transformative change to come into our nation and the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Give us educational leaders who will work diligently from within to change it and to work alongside of the parents and the training of their children. It's not the government's job. It's your job. Give us leaders in government who promote godly change. Uproot, dismantle, and silence those governmental leaders who have willingly accepted this demonic humanistic agenda. Uproot, dismantle, and silence those in the media that dare to promote the godless curse of humanism. We bind the perverse spiritual forces behind humanism, declaring that by the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, the humanistic agenda and all of its yokes are destroyed by the word of truth. All of its efforts are dead from the roots up, and the believers will say like the disciples, "Master, that tree we cursed is dead. With your authority, might, dominion, and empowerment, we prophesy the end of the humanistic agenda." The voices of the ecclesia will continually become louder than the voices of the humanist abomination. The lion of the tribe of Judah is in us. We raise our voices louder than the government. We know as we pray, you hear our voice in heaven, and their voice will no longer be heard by man on earth because people see the truth. We know you hear our prayers. We know we have the petition that we ask. We know you are baptizing the body of Christ with power from on high to contend for the faith and take authority over this force of wickedness. We declare deliverance and salvation comes today to those who have been bound by its deception in Jesus' name and by the blood of Jesus. We believe that all across this land, a powerful demonstration of your ecclesia will be seen continually. We ask for it. We declare it. We prophesy it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Welcome. It's good to have all y'all with us tonight. It really is. It's going to be a very enjoyable program. You're going to want to call your mama and your daddy, all your aunts and uncles, and invite them to the program, because we're going to get into some more videos from Brother David Barton, and we're going to get into I've got a reading I'm going to read of what the founding fathers said about voting. These are the men that created a constitution. And so it's going to be a great program. So I encourage you to stick with us here and, get your notepad out, take some notes, whatever, so that we can truly be prepared for voting tomorrow. That's what this is all about. I want tonight's program to help you be prepared to vote tomorrow effectively in your election. those of you, some of you may have never seen these kind of things. So that's why I like to bring them to us. Our first selection tonight is going to be from Brother David Barton. And then after that, I'm going to read the statements of the Founding Fathers. And then we're going to hear tonight why it's the importance of the local elections. This is going to be very good. You're going to enjoy this. So we welcome you. And hopefully the copyright I have is enough copyright so that it's not taken away and taken off. Here we go. Let me get my video set up here. Got to get all my technology working together properly. All right.
Battery 50%. Connected.
Hold on.
Battery 50%.
There we go.
Connected to Samuel Cotteless iPhone.
Five things to remember just before you go vote. This is from Brother David Barton. We've been enjoying his ministry, well, for quite some time now. And the man is so filled with valuable information, it's like it just flows out of him. There we go. Get the volume turned up. I didn't get no volume, so now I got to do something else. Everybody sit tight. This man knows. He truly knows.
Samuel Nash, disconnected.
Now we're ready. He truly knows the Constitution. He knows voting. He's run political campaigns. He has the largest volume of original documents there are. So thank God that we have men and women of God like this today who can truly help us in our Christian life. Here we go. Share the screen. Brother David Barton, five things to remember before you go vote.
Presidential election in front of us, and that's a big deal. But that's not the only thing on the ballot.
All right, so obviously this was
presidential election in front of us, and that's...
Let me see. Oh, this was actually written and done in 2016. So we're going to get a little history in this. But watch what God has done since this was made. Here we go.
We have governors that are running and U.S. senators that are running and congressmen that are running and state senators that are running and state representatives. We have all the way down to dog catchers. We have the local races, the lowest of the local races. These are really important races. There are thousands of Americans running on the ballot on Tuesday. In addition to that, there are dozens of ballot initiatives that are on across the state, and they're issues of importance to Christians. We have things about whether doctors should be killing people or trying to save their lives. We have issues that deal with abortion. We have all sorts of issues that are biblical issues, very important for us. So as we look at Tuesday, there's two questions that have to be answered. One is, will I vote? And two is, if I do vote, how do I know who to vote for? Both of those questions have fairly simple answers. To answer the first one, will I vote, let me take you to something I learned from my rabbi, Daniel Lappin. Daniel Lappin, terrific rabbi. And as he and I were talking, he pointed out to me, he said, you know, the first time God ever spoke to man, he spoke to Adam, of course, but when he spoke to man, God spoke to Adam in Hebrew. That was the language God chose. He could have chosen French or Italian or Russian or Greek or English or Texan or American or whatever you speak, but he chose Hebrew. And so Rabbi pointed out to me that every word in Hebrew means something because it came from the mouth of God. It's not like we do with other languages where we kind of describe things. For example, go to Rachel and Leah. Remember Rachel and Leah, the two wives of Jacob, and they wanted children. There was a competition because who could have more children. And so when Leah has a child, she says, behold, a son. She's really elated. What's the name of that child? The name of that child was, behold, a son. We say Reuben, but it's behold, a son. And then when Rachel had her child, she said, the child of my right hand. So what do we call that child? Well, we call it the child of my right hand, which In Hebrew, that's Benjamin. So all of those names meant something. Every word means something. And so as Rabbi pointed out to me, he said, therefore, not only what God says is important, but what he doesn't say is important. He said, for example, do you know that in Hebrew, you cannot say the word coincidence? I didn't know that, but that's profound. Because if you can't say the word, and as Rabbi pointed out, if you can't say the word coincidence, because it never crossed God's mind and he never spoke it. It's not like God says, oh, wow, did you see that? I didn't see that coming. That's a big surprise. No, it's not a surprise to God. It's not a coincidence that something happens. He ordains, he leads, he guides. So the fact that there is no coincidence in the mind of God tells us a whole lot about how we should be thinking. There's not luck, and I wasn't fortunate. I may have been blessed or protected. Well, that's a whole profound look at yes. how God handles our lives. I said, Rabbi, what else can't you say in Hebrew? He said, well, you can't say the word retirement in Hebrew. You can't say retirement? No, because there never was a time when God did not expect you to be productive, to be producing something. You remember even in the New Testament over in Luke, there was the guy who said, man, I've gathered enough. I can finally retire. And that night, the scripture says, you fool. This night, your soul's required of you. Retirement didn't turn out too good for him. I said, Rabbi, what else can't you say in Hebrew? He said, well, you can't say the word fair in Hebrew. I went, wow. And it makes sense because you look at how many things in the Bible were not fair. What happened to Job wasn't fair, but that's not the issue. You see, God's not nearly so concerned with what happens to us as how we respond to what happens to us. Remember Job? What happened to Job? Man, from Job's standpoint, that wasn't fair, but God's over here saying, Satan, you had a shot at him, but you watch. He's going to respond right. He's going to do the right thing. It was all about Job's responses, and Job responded right, and he got a double blessing. You see, what happened to Jesus wasn't fair, but that's really good for the rest of us. What happened to Joseph wasn't fair, but it saved Jacob and his family, and that became Israel. So none of that was fair, but that didn't cross God's mind whether it was fair or not. It was what needed to be done. I said, what else can't you say in Hebrew? He said, you cannot say the word rights in Hebrew. We Americans are really caught up with our rights. He said, you can't say the word rights. He said, you can't say the word rights. What you can say in Hebrew is responsibility. Now, that deals with voting because, you see, we think we have a right to vote. We don't. We have a responsibility to vote. It's not an option whether they're going to vote Tuesday or not. We will vote. That is our responsibility. Now, this goes back to a couple of New Testament teachings as well. As you get over into Luke 19 and Matthew 25, remember the master called all the servants together. And he said, I'm giving each of you a trust. I want you to take care of this till I get back. As Jesus told us in Luke 19:13, I want you to occupy till I come. And so what it is very simply is we know from the scriptures that God ordained government. That's his institution. I mean, we know that from Jude, and we know that from Romans and from 1 Peter and so many other places. So God ordained government. What kind of government did he ordain in America? Self-government, what we call a Republican form of government, little r. So that's the government God ordained here, which means it belongs to us. He put it in his hands. You see, he got us together and said, here, I'm giving you this government. You take care of it. I'm giving you a vote. You do something good with it. Take care of my vote. He's going to come back and say, hey, I gave you a government. What'd you do with it? I gave you a vote. What'd you do with that vote? And if we say, well, I decided not to use it, ooh, that's what the guy did in Luke 19 and Matthew 25. He's the guy that got in trouble. He would not use what the master had given him. And the master has placed into our hands the stewardship of a vote. We have to use it. We can't sit on the sideline for that. We get in trouble if we sit on the sideline with it. So the option of not voting on Tuesday is not an option for a biblical Christian. We don't have a right to vote. That's selfishness. We have a duty to vote. We're going to do everything Amen. We can to help the rest of the nation, help everyone else.
Amen.
So we will
Amen.
Vote on Tuesday. Amen. That's the option. That's what we do is we vote. But who do we vote for? How do we know who to vote for? So many people on the ballot, presidential candidates, how do I know? Well, this is where the Bible, again, gives us a lot of guidance. You see, and that's really asking the wrong question. It's not who you vote for. It's what do you vote for? And that's in the sense of we're told in Proverbs 14:34 that righteousness exalts a nation. What you're after is the best policies. Now, I'll point out in the Bible, there's a lot of times when you had really godly leaders who did really bad policies, and the whole nation got in trouble. So it's not how good the leader is necessarily, it's how good the policies are to come from. There's times when you have bad leaders that give you really good policies that God blessed. So righteousness exalting a nation is what you're after. It's not the personality who you're after, it's what kind of policies will you get. And what kind of policies do I want? Well, if I want righteousness to exalt a nation, I first go to Isaiah chapter 1. Because in that particular passage, God and Isaiah are talking, and the nation's turned away from God, and God's going to get it back. And he makes a promise to Isaiah, I'm going to bring the nation back. I mean, here's how I'm going to do it. He says, I'm going to give you judges as at the beginning and lawyers as at the first, and then you'll be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. And notice God ties the righteousness of the area to the type of judges it has. Well, that makes sense to us. Nearly every righteousness issue we face in the culture war has come out of the courtrooms, not the legislatures, whether it's abortion or whether it's the wrong definition of marriage or whether it's not protecting the rights of conscience. It's coming from judges, not from us. So if I want righteousness to exalt the nation, the most important thing I have to look at first and foremost is what kind of judges will I get from this candidate? Will I get pro-life judges or will I get pro-abortion judges? Will I get judges who understand that marriage is God's institution, not ours, and you can't redefine it just because you want to? Will I get judges who think that it's okay for Christians to practice their faith in public and therefore Hobby Lobby does not have to pay for abortion offense, and therefore bakers and florists and others don't have to participate in homosexual weddings if they don't want to? Will I get those kind of judges? See, that's on the ballot, too. That's what we'll decide, but that's not the only issue. You go back into Genesis 12, and it's one of the first covenants God made in the Bible. In Genesis 12, he takes Abram and says, Abram, I'm going to make a nation out of you. Whoever blesses will be blessed. Whoever curses will be cursed. Now, that's a covenant God made, and we know from Psalm 105 that God said, my covenant endures for 1,000 generations. Well, this covenant that God made with Abram and Israel, we're only 200 generations in that covenant. We got a long time to go. That covenant is still active and alive. And God makes it real clear, however you treat his people, his nation of Israel, that's how he's going to treat you. So question of the ballot Tuesday is, okay, how are candidates going to treat Israel? And by the way, we're smart enough in America that everybody says the right thing about Israel generally. So how do you know who's really got the right position in Israel? The other thing you look at is, does that individual help Israel's interest? Because you can say the right thing about Israel, but if you're over here helping the Iranians, and if you're over here helping the Palestinians, you're trying to take the land from Israel and destroy Israel, if you're helping Israel's enemies, God's not going to bless you. So that's something you can definitely look at on Tuesday. The other things you can look at on Tuesday, three of them, real simple. They all come out of the Ten Commandments. You remember that when God had his people Israel out in the middle of the desert, he said, I'm going to make a nation out of you, and he gave them 613 laws. And those laws deal with everything a nation will ever need. It deals with health care. Those laws deal with immigration. They deal with economics. They deal with education. They deal with military. 613 laws. And God says, by the way, here's my top 10. In Exodus 23, he called the Ten Commandments the tenor of my laws. This is the core. This is the essence. This is the backbone of what I gave you. And as you look at those Ten Commandments, there's three of them on the ballot on Tuesday. The first is the first one. The first command says, I'm the Lord thy God. Acknowledge me. Acknowledge me as Lord. So that means, can a kid say the word God at graduation? Does that mean, can we have a nativity scene in public? Or can Hobby Lobby acknowledge God through saying, hey, we don't do abortion with our employees? Can we acknowledge God through a florist or someone else saying, you know, I really appreciate what God's created his beauty, but I'm not going to participate in homosexuality? Can we acknowledge, can our beliefs be lived out? See, that's part of the first of the Ten Commandments. The first one is the ability to acknowledge God, which means the rights of conscience that come from us following what we believe God wants us to do, what he's told us to do. So that's on the ballot Tuesday. We can look at that and say, all right, rights of conscience, public acknowledgement of God. Where are various candidates on that? The other thing we can see out of the Ten Commandments is God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, what's that? That's God saying, I want sexuality confined to a man and a woman in a lifelong relationship. God's made it real clear. Sex belongs inside marriage between a man and a woman. Which means sex before marriage is wrong. Sex outside of marriage, like adultery, is wrong. Homosexual sex is wrong. Sex to be confined to a man and a woman in a lifetime relationship. So what we've got on the ballot Tuesday is, how do you define marriage? What's your definition of marriage? Because God's made it really clear, and I want a candidate who at least takes a stand that God takes on the definition of marriage. Also on the ballot on Tuesday will be the other of the Ten Commandments that's up. And that is the one that says, thou shalt not kill. In Hebrew, it says, thou shalt not murder, which is don't shed innocent blood. And we know from the scriptures that every time you shed innocent blood, there's a curse that comes on the nation, curse that comes on the land. Shed innocent blood, that's what we do with abortions. See, abortions on the ballot Tuesday. We can say, hey, do you support not shedding innocent blood? Do you support not killing unborn children? Or do you support it? Because those are all issues that are in God's top 10. Now, if your issue is immigration, or your issue is economics and taxes, or your issue is anything else, that's great. You can have that issue, but it's got to be number 6 on the list. because the top five on the list are all issues of righteousness that affects the nation.
Yeah.
And that includes what we do with judges. It includes what we do with Israel, how we treat Israel. It includes whether we can acknowledge God and have the right of conscience protected. It includes whether we have a definition of marriage that's very simple, man and a woman. And fifth, it includes our stance on abortion. Those are five things that you can look at. And that's president, but that's also governor. That's also U.S. senators and congressmen and state senators and state reps, all the way down to school board and dog catcher. Those are the five biggest issues to look at. So as we come to Tuesday, the first question is answered. You will vote on Tuesday. That's your responsibility. You don't have a right to vote. You have a responsibility
Amen.
To vote. And the second question is, what do I vote about? You vote about those five issues of righteousness that God gave us clearly out of the Bible.
My, my, my. That man said more in 12 minutes and 40 seconds than you and I can say all night long. All right. So, kind of decision are they going to make? Will it be righteous or unrighteous? What kind of, which judges will they put in? How are they going to deal with Israel? And do they believe in the Ten Commandments? These are all very, very vital for us as we vote tomorrow morning. Now, I'm going to stop the share here. And I'm going to get this set up for the next one. But I want us to go now. I want to read tonight. I found this on Brother David Barton's site.
Hey, guys, there's a new poll out from Gallup.
All right, we're not going to your new poll. There we go. I found this on Brother David's site, and it is what the founding fathers said about voting. And this is very good. So let's just read this. John Adams. We electors have an important constitutional power placed in our hands. We have a check upon two branches of the legislature. The power I mean of electing at stated periods each branch. It becomes necessary to every citizen then to be in some degree a statesman, and to examine and judge for himself of the tendency of political principles and measures. Let us examine them with a sober, a manly, and a Christian spirit. Let us neglect all party loyalty and advert to facts. Let us believe no man to be infallible or impeccable in government, any more than in religion. Take no man's word against evidence, nor implicitly adopt the sentiments of others who may be deceived themselves or may be interested in deceiving. John Adams about voting. Published that in the Boston Gazette, 1763. Samuel Adams, not a beer, a man of God. Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is not making a present or a compliment to please an individual. That's really good. Or at least that he ought not so to do, but that he's executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society, for which he is accountable to God and to his country. Let's pause. Father, forgive us of our sin, Lord. and heal our land. Forgive us of our sin. We turn from our wicked way. We turn. God of the judge of all the earth and abortion, send revival. In your judgment, remember mercy. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. America will be saved. I've been asking you to read this at the top of every hour. I pray you're doing it with me. Back to Samuel Adams. Nothing is more essential to the establishment of manners in a state that all persons employed in places of power and trust be men of unexceptionable characters. The public cannot be too curious concerning the character of public man. That means be curious, find out what they actually believe. Matthias Burnett, consider well the important trust which God has put into your hands. To God and posterity, you are accountable for your rights and your rulers. Let not your children have reason to curse you for giving up these rights and prostrating those institutions which your father delivered to you. Look well to the characters and qualifications of those you elect and raise to office and places of trust. Think not that your interests will be safe in the hands of the weak and the ignorant, or faithfully managed by the impious, dissolute, and immoral. Think not that men who acknowledge not the providence of God nor regard his law will be uncorrupt in office, firm in defense of the righteous cause against the oppressor, or resolutely oppose the torrent of iniquity. Watch over your liberties and privileges, civil and religious, with a careful eye. It doesn't sound like these founding fathers in any way were missing the mark on how things really ought to be. It doesn't sound it. Sounds like they all had their act together pretty good, and they're giving us a great understanding of the importance of our voting. Now, Frederick Douglass. I have one great political idea. The idea is an old one. It is widely and generally assented to. Nevertheless, it is very generally trampled upon and disregarded. The best expression of it I have found in the Bible. It is in substance. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. This constitutes my politics, the negative and positive of my politics, and the whole of my politics. I feel it my duty to do all in my power to infuse this idea into the public mind, that it may speedily be recognized and practiced upon by our people. Righteousness. Now, let's hear from a preacher, Charles Finney. The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics, or the Lord will curse them. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter, but the time has come when they must act differently. Christians seem to act as if they thought God did not see what they do in politics. But I tell you, he does see it. And he will bless or curse this nation according to the course they take. See, everyone had the same thought then. Everyone. This is a severe responsibility. And God Almighty is watching how you vote every day. They're all saying, make sure you know who these people are. Here we go. James Garfield. Now more than ever, people are responsible for the character of their Congress. We are. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it is because the people demand these high qualities to represent them in the national legislature. If the next centennial does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the enterprise, the culture, and the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political force. 39% of Americans will vote today, tomorrow. And we'll elect all of our leaders with 39% of America. Folks, if you and I, the believers, would just stand up and vote, we'd control the whole election and both sides of the House. Here we go. Francis Grimke. If the time ever comes when we shall go to pieces, it will be from inward corruption, from the disregard of right principles, from losing sight of the fact that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Say it with me. We will not lose track. The secession of the southern states in 1860 was a small matter. With the secession of the Union states from the great principles enunciated in the Declaration of Independence, in the Golden Rule, in the Ten Commandments, in the Sermon on the Mount. Unless we hold firmly to these great fundamental principles of righteousness, our union will only be a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. Man, these are powerful statements. Powerful, powerful statements. Alexander Hamilton. A share in the sovereignty of the state, which is exercised by citizens at large. Sovereignty. In voting at elections is one of the most important rights of the subject. And in a republic, ought to stand foremost in the estimation of the law. John Jay, one of the great lawyers and Supreme Court justice. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers. It is a duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation. He's calling this Christian nation. The Americans are the first people whom heaven has favored with an opportunity of deliberating upon and choosing the forms of government we should live under. 1890. Thomas Jefferson. The elective franchise, if guarded as the ark of safety, will peaceably dissipate all combinations to subvert a constitution dictated by the wisdom and resting on the will of the people. See, These men are all saying it's you and me that puts those people in that office. If you don't like what you're seeing, you and I got to stand up and change those people and elect somebody with moral character that believes in God and the Bible and will follow it. The rational and peaceable instrument of reform, the suffrage of the people. You and I get to bring reform by our vote. Should things go wrong at any time, the people will set them to rights by the peaceable exercise of their elective rights. William Penn, this is powerful. Governments, like clocks, go from motion, the motion men give them, and as governments are made and moved by men, so by them they are ruined too. Wherefore governments rather depend on men than men upon governments. Men be good, and the government cannot be bad. But if men be bad, let the government be never so good. They will endeavor to warp and spoil it to their turn. Though good laws do well, good men do better. For good laws may lack good men and be abolished or invaded by ill men. But good men will never want good laws nor suffer ill ones. It makes sense, but it's deep. That man wrote a lot of words in his life, you can tell. Yeah. So, Brother Roger, Democrat, Republican, 51% of the vote of 39% of the people is a very low number. You got to get out and vote. Stop saying I don't vote. That's nothing to brag about. That's dishonorable in our God. Get out and vote. Daniel Webster, who wrote the Webster Dictionary, impress upon children the truth that the exercise of the elective franchise is a social duty of as solemn a nature as man can be called to perform. That a man may not innocently trifle with his vote. That every elector is a trustee, as well for others as himself. And that every measure he supports has an important bearing on the interest of others as well as on his own. I don't know if Noah is his brother, but I think so. Noah Webster. In selecting men for office, let principle be your guide. The reality is there's a whole lot of people that today, if we went by principle, would not be sitting in a public political office at all. Regard not the particular sect or denomination of the candidate. Look to his character. When a citizen gives his suffrage, his vote, to a man of known immorality, he abuses his trust, sacrifices not only his own interest, but that of his neighbors. He betrays the interest of 1823. When you become entitled to the exercise, the right of voting for public officers, let it be impressed upon your mind that God commands you to choose for rulers, just men who will rule in the fear of God. The preservation of government depends on the faithful discharge of this duty. If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. Laws will be made not for the public good, so much as for selfish or local purposes. Corrupt or incompetent men will be appointed to execute the laws. The public revenues will be squandered on unworthy men, and the rights of the citizens will be violated or disregarded. If a Republican government fails to secure the public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens neglect the divine commands and elect men to make and administer the laws, not men of God. One more, John Witherspoon. Those who wish well to the state ought to choose to place places of trust, men of inward principle, justified by the exemplary conversation, and the people in general ought to have regard to the moral character of those whom they invest with authority in the legislative, executive, or judicial branches. And I say, in Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. Now, why did you read all that? That's the Founding Fathers' view of voting. That's what they believe. That's how serious to them a vote was in every sense of the word, because they needed to very specifically elect men of character. And I love it. Men that believe in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes. I mean, he went right down the list of one guy. And so the idea behind it is this. You and I got to get serious, more serious in our prayers and in our fasting, that men and women of righteousness would come and they would rise up. And we, the people of the United States of America, would very specifically elect them to office. That's why I keep saying, Father, paint this nation red in the blood of Jesus. Paint it red. Mighty men and women of God who know you, getting into office and leading us back to the paths of righteousness. For Jesus' namesake. Now, we're going to go next to the importance of local elections. Now, this isn't a video. This is an audio, but it's a very good audio. And so we'll listen to a little bit of this and come back and be with you some more in a minute. Here we go. This is, I believe it's Tim. And Dr. Everett Piper, you can see that on the screen there. The torch of freedom
burns. Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. It's Wall Builders Live, always taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. And now, right now, is a very important time to be doing that. We're less than a month out from, I know we say it every time, the most important election of our lifetime. But frankly, every election is the most important election of our lifetime since the last one. So it's actually true. But this one, folks, this one, I mean, this literally is going to determine the trajectory of the country in some huge ways. I mean, we are slouching towards Gomorrah, as Robert Bork said in his book title years ago. The culture is crumbling around us. We have to pick up the pieces and start rebuilding liberty now. We've got to rebuild the walls. That's what Wall Builders is all about, rebuilding the foundations. You know, that scripture in Nehemiah says, arise and rebuild the walls that we may no longer be a reproach. When David started Wall Builders 30 years ago, I don't know if he could have possibly imagined the importance that it would play right now for such a time as this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm all over the country, and I'm meeting with people all the time talking about how the wall builders' materials have gotten them involved for the first time in their life. They took one of our Constitution classes, or they heard David on a radio program, or they saw Tim speak in their neighborhood, or whatever it was, and now they're engaged. I'm telling you, it's having a huge impact. So you, by being a listener of Wall Builders and hopefully sharing the program, you'll be a force multiplier, take those links and send them to your friends and family. You, by being a donor to Wall Builders Live, so if you haven't ever done that, go to wallbuilderslive.com today, make that one-time or monthly contribution. When you do those things, you're a part of all of those ripple effects that Wall Builders is having all over the nation and, frankly, around the world. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the solution. And I forgot to say, my name's Rick Green. I'm a former Texas legislator and America's Constitution coach. Always glad to be here with you, and it's such an honor to be with these two guys, David and Tim Barton. Tim Barton, national speaker and pastor. He's president of Wall Builders. You can book him in to speak in your community, as you should. I highly recommend it. And David Barton, America's premier historian. He's our founder at Wall Builders. And he and Cheryl started Wall Builders, as I said, 30 years ago, and the impact is just off the charts. And if you haven't had a chance to meet David and Cheryl, get them to come in and speak at your church. Have an opportunity to meet them on one of these American Restoration Tour events. They're happening all over the nation. In fact, we'll be catching up with David on the road today, so he'll be calling in to be a part of the program as he continues to hit city after city. They've just got an insane schedule, and it's really impressive what they've been able to do. All right, David and Tim, we got Dr. Everett Piper back with us, and man, he's got some local crazy stuff going on in Oklahoma, of all places. And Tim, I think one of the things people are going to realize today, if they don't already realize it, the crazy stuff in America is not just happening in super blue areas. The left is trying to gain ground even in red areas with some of these things like the crazy drag queen shows, and that's what one of the things that Dr. Piper is going to be talking to us about. But I just think the take-home message for today is going to be, hey, everybody needs to be aware. Everybody needs to be engaged. Don't think just because you live in the buckle of the Bible Belt that your area is safe.
100% correct. And unfortunately, one of the things that we are seeing is a lot of these rural areas that tend to be very conservative, they're the ones being targeted almost because, you know, if you've grown up in one of these smaller towns or country towns or very conservative towns, you just kind of take for granted that, man, things are fine. It's not a big deal. Right? We don't live in a crazy place. The crazy places are the big cities where Democrats or liberals control those cities and they have terrible policies. Those are the crazy places. But what we're seeing is that really the left, and in some cases, right, it's more demonic than just saying it's a political side. I mean, there's some evil in this. And the devil, right, strategically, he wants all of the world. He doesn't just want the big cities. He wants all the people everywhere. He wants to damage families and kids anywhere he can get them. And so it totally makes sense that everywhere in the U.S. is a target.
There's crazy people in every single place. Now, it's like in conservative states, they're more outnumbered, and so you don't necessarily notice them because you think of an Alabama as being conservative, an Oklahoma being conservative, Arkansas or Wyoming or whatever, and so you don't notice them. But what I'm finding out is when it starts coming to the local level, they're already there, and if conservative people, particularly Christians, refuse to get involved in local areas, even though you might have a local town that's very conservative, and maybe when they vote, they're 85% conservative, that 15% is there. And if you don't vote in school board elections, if you don't vote in smaller stuff, they're going to be the ones running it. And so what I'm finding is even in the very, very conservative towns and cities, because the conservatives are not getting involved in local elections, people are running the things there. And it looks like, you know, all over the nation, we're seeing schools indoctrinated with crazy stuff and library stuff and you know, gender stuff that we would never expect from that city or that town or that state. But that's a reflection of the fact that those people have not been involved at local levels.
I think an additional challenge, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think an additional challenge is that the left has done such a good job of controlling the narrative of what is legal and what is tolerant. And, you know, to say that, wait a second, you know, if we're going to, for example, if we're going to have, you know, some kind of drag show, you know, transgender drag show, whatever the case might be, then you can't tell us no because it's a First Amendment right and how dare you not be tolerant, et cetera, et cetera. And so sometimes you have people who maybe are very good-hearted people who are buying into an incorrect narrative about what tolerance and the law actually looks like, as if suggesting that anything anybody wants to do, you have to tolerate and it should be legal. Well, that's not the way law works, and that's actually not the way tolerance works either. We have to not buy into this narrative of the fact that we're supposed to tolerate whatever kind of bad behavior comes, because frankly, there are some things that we're not supposed to tolerate. One of the I think major misconceptions, even in Christianity, that we're supposed to love everybody and everything. Well, the Bible actually tells us the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. If you look up the word hate in the Bible, it is shocking, at least it probably would be to most people, how often the word hate is describing God's feelings or response towards sin and evil. God hates sin and evil. It is all over the Bible. And literally the Bible actually tells us that the fear of the Lord, if we have the fear of the Lord, we're supposed to hate the things that God hates. And this is also something where if we start getting into some of what we're seeing now in culture, and especially some of these smaller towns where they are promoting some of these transgender drag shows, you know, Jesus said it would be better for someone to have a millstone tied around their neck and thrown into the sea, where Jesus is literally saying it's better for you to die, for you to be drowned, than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And yet, what we are seeing now is that some of these, literally, for example, transgender drag shows are happening in public places. Kids are being invited. They're being told it's family friendly as they're promoting all kinds of sexual immorality, things that are an abomination before the Lord. That things we know the Bible tells us that sexual sin is a unique sin because it's a sin that's against our own body. And this is something that is literally against the public decency laws in nearly every single town, every single community. And yet you have, in many cases, in some of these conservative towns, you have conservative leaders who are afraid to uphold the law and say no. And if Christians don't stand up and speak out, this nonsense can be rampant merely because we did nothing. And right, there's that famous quote that's attributed to a couple of different people, but the adage that the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. If people sit down and don't get involved, if we don't stand up and push back and say no to sin, no to wickedness, no to evil, it will become more and more rampant in this nation.
And by the way, Tim, you mentioned that the hate really is a part of biblical faith because you have to hate the wrong things. You have to hate anytime evil occurs. And it's, they use that against us as if they're not haters. And if you want to see some hate, just tell them what they're doing is wrong. Just intervene and try to say, hey, it's inappropriate to have a family-friendly drag show. We're not going to do that. You'll see the hate come out at that point. So it's always been interesting to me that those that accuse the other side of something, that's generally what they do more of themselves. That goes back to a verse in Romans 2. But you really have this thing that, you know, they want to make us look like haters because we think things are wrong. Man, do they hate us when we point out what's wrong? So that's something we should never let affect us, is what they call us, what names they use, you know, how they want to describe us. They're generally describing themselves and transferring that onto the others. So we got to stand for what's right. And Tim, you're right. The Bible is full of what God says he hates. And there are certain things that we need that, you know, that's one of the verses in Bible too that David talks about. I hate what he hates. And we've got to get to the point where we see that as wrong, because what he hates is the things that will destroy a community. They will destroy a family. They will destroy individuals. And you're actually loving someone by trying to oppose the things that will destroy them, whether they know it will destroy them or not. And that's really what we have to do in situations like this.
You know, one of the places that we're seeing this kind of goofy stuff is in Oklahoma, which is a very red, very conservative state. And in a conservative part of Oklahoma, up in the Bartlesville area north of Tulsa, really conservative, they're actually having in Bartlesville there in the city this family-friendly drag show. And that's probably the last place in America you would pick for that. And so up in Bartlesville is where Everett Piper is. He was the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan for a number of years. And he's watched what's going on in this little conservative town. He's actually running for county commissioner there. There's actually three people that are in charge of running the county. And he's running for one of those slots because it's just gotten crazy. And this is the thing that when conservative people don't get engaged, the people who get office are going to do crazy things. And so, you know, kudos to Everett for getting engaged. But this is something that's an issue to him, and it's interesting to talk about why it's happening in such a conservative community, because this is what we see all over the nation right now.
Yeah, and in fact, Washington Times has a great article by Dr. Piper specifically about this, but we thought it'd be great to get him on the radio program to talk about it. And as we, you know, said earlier, make sure people know this can happen in your community. Probably is happening, unfortunately, in your community. Even if you think you're in a super red area, it's going on all over the nation. And it can be stopped, but it's going to take some courage, and that's exactly what Dr. Piper is going to talk about. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back on Wall Builders Live.
Hey, guys, we want to let you know about a new resource we have at Wall Builders called The American Story. For so many years, people have asked us to do a history book to help tell more of the story that's just not known or not told today, and we would say very providentially, in the midst of all of the new attacks coming out against America, whether it be from things like the 1619 Project that say America is evil and everything in America was built off slavery, which is certainly not true, or things like even the Black Lives Matter movement, the organization itself, not the statement Black Lives Matter, but the organization that says we're against everything that America was built on, and this is part of the Marxist ideology. There's so many things attacking America. Well, is America worth defending? Well, what is the true story of America? We actually have written and told that story, starting with Christopher Columbus, going roughly through Abraham Lincoln. We tell the story of America, not as the story of a perfect nation or a perfect people, but the story of how God used these imperfect people and did great things through this nation. It's a story you want to check out. Wallbuilder.com, the American story.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. In Exodus 18:21, the Bible not only instructs that we're to choose our own leaders at the local and county and state and federal levels, but it also sets forth the standards for those leaders. For generations, Americans voted with a full awareness of this passage. Notice, for example, how Founding Father Noah Webster relied on it. He instructed students, when you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public officers, let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God. If our government fails to secure public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens neglect this scripture and elect bad men to make and administer the laws. In the upcoming elections, make sure not only that you vote, but that you vote for leaders who will rule in the fear of God. For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.
Welcome back to Wall Builders Live. Thanks for staying with us today. Always good to have Dr. Everett Piper with us. Check out his book, Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth. And a new article specifically about these quote-unquote family-friendly drag queen shows, and one that came to his home state of Oklahoma. Dr. Piper, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, Rick, I always have a blast on your show, so thanks for having me on again.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you. Unfortunately, too often our topic is just insane and feels like we've gotten in some kind of time machine and gone to some other place, or I don't know. These drag queen shows, I just don't get it. I can't believe parents are taking their kids to these things. And then, as you point out in the article, sometimes politicians embracing this stuff. In Oklahoma, I expect it in other places, but Oklahoma?
Well, not only in Oklahoma, but in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And you know, that's where Oklahoma Wesleyan University is, where I served as president for 17 years. And I want to remind everybody that's listening right now, Oklahoma is the reddest of red states, or at least that's what we boast. We haven't had one county vote blue in five successive presidential elections. Not one county. It's a sea of red. And Bartlesville, Oklahoma, is supposedly the conservative bastion in northeast Oklahoma, where everybody's a Republican. But yet, here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, on September 10th, they had a family-friendly drag queen performance in a public park. I want to emphasize the word public. They promoted this family-friendly drag queen performance in a public park. They put posters up in the local high school. They lit up the buildings around the park in rainbow colors. They had bouncy toys, and they actually were teaching children. And when I say children, I'm not talking 15-year-olds. I'm talking 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and 8-year-olds. We have photographs of this. They were teaching children how to give money, dollar bills, to these quote-unquote performers who were mimicking a strip act or a strip routine that you would see in a movie that was portraying an adult club. So you have these adult men who get the kicks out of dressing up in size 14 pumps, knee-high boots, fishnet stockings, a miniskirt with a big blonde wig as they blackface, mock, and mimic and make fun of women. And we're teaching our children in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, to give these guys dollar bills as a thank you for their performance in a public park. And we had, now here's the good news. The good news on this story, Rick, is that a bunch of millennial parents started a petition saying this is wrong. If you want to do this stuff, take it behind closed doors. Stop doing it in our public parks. And over 2,200 people signed this petition, saying, stop this. This is wrong. That's the good news. Now, the challenging news is we have a conservative Republican city council that has refused to take any action thus far, even though we have city ordinances that have been on the books for decades against lewd and lasciviousness behavior. Their language, not mine. That's what we say in our local law, our local statute. We can't do this kind of stuff in public. But yet our city council seems to be stymied right now, wondering what they should do.
Yeah.
And my point in my article, as you know, is this. Do your job. We elected you to enforce the local laws. So enforce these laws. This isn't confusing. A bunch of dudes planting and preening to Shania Twain, I feel like a woman, which they were doing. A bunch of guys prancing and preening and grinding in front of kids in the local public park where he could be riding his bicycle through on his way to visit a neighbor. That's wrong, and it should stop. And hopefully we're going to stop it here in Bartlesville, but it took place. We just need to encourage our city council to grow a spine.
Well, you make a huge point in your podcast about we always, you know, talk about at the federal level, presidency, that sort of thing, and making a difference, but it's the local offices right here that you can make the most difference with. And the fact that you've got local elected officials in this conservative town willing to enforce the law and literally, I mean, supporting this by not going against it. I mean, their silence is definitely speaking volumes. People can make a difference at the local level. They got to pay attention to who gets elected, the mayor and city council and commissioner and all these local offices.
Absolutely. And what makes this even more pertinent is obviously we're in the midterm elections here. We have a couple city council positions on the ballot on November 8th. And one of the guys running for city council, and he could win here in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, conservative corner of the conservative rightest of red states, is a guy that was at this event with his Pride t-shirts on. He's employed by ConocoPhillips, Phillips 66, who sponsored this event. They gave money to it. I guess Phillips 66 and St. Carmen Insurance and Trudy Credit Union and others think the most important thing for small little conservative towns like Bartlesville, Oklahoma is to have a family-friendly drag queen performance. This is outrageous.
Unreal.
And I hope that this has awakened the local electorate to vote against this guy that's running for city council, who will just double down and continue to try to ram this kind of garbage down the throats of conservative heartland America.
Well, call me a prude, but I mean, it seems like there was a time if you took a kid that's 5 or 6 years old into a strip club, you would get in some trouble. That would be child abuse. But it's okay to take them to the local park where you've got drag queens doing essentially strip. I mean, they're doing all of these I can't even describe it on our program, things that they're doing in front of these kids, and there's not a problem with. I mean, it seems like to me that's child abuse.
Well, here's the parallel, and I've asked this question of the local officials. Let's assume that I'm a 25-year-old dad, I've got young kids, I'm going to town, I'm a farmer, I'm 10, 15 miles out of Bartlesville, and I go into town on a Saturday to buy groceries at Walmart. And we do, and it's a beautiful day, so afterwards we stop at Wendy's to get a burger and fries for our kids, and we stop at the local public park to let our kids have a picnic and watch the ducks. And let's assume as we're doing that, sitting at a picnic table, some dude, 6'3" dude, 220 pounds, in knee-high leather boots, fishnet stockings, a thong with a big exaggerated wig, comes prancing and preening by our kids there at the public park with a ghetto blaster on his shoulder playing Shania Twain's I Feel Like a Woman. They were playing that song. Let's assume that happens while we're at that park. Do you think maybe the police should intervene and stop that?
Right.
Do you think maybe the local authorities should say that's wrong? I would hope so. There's no difference between this big event that took place in a public park and some dude doing that individually.
I have to say the good news here, as you said, already said, but I want to emphasize it, 2,200 signatures. These were young parents that started the petition to try to stop this. I'm assuming I don't know how big Bartlesville is, but that seems like a large number of people in any community to sign on to this and say no. But it seems like the majority of people are with us. I mean, we haven't totally lost our mind, right? I mean, there's a few crazies out there that think this is okay, but are we still the majority on even an issue that seems so obvious as this?
I think we are the majority because Bartlesville is a little less than 40,000 people, small little town, 40,000 people, and you had 2,200 sign a petition spontaneously to stop this. And it wasn't just a bunch of old gray-haired folks. It was young millennial parents who signed it, too. In fact, they're the ones that initiated it. So I'd like to think that if you can get that many people in a small town to say no. And frankly, some of these people are probably more libertarian in their view because they would say, hey, if these guys want to do this, if they get their kicks out of doing this, then have at it. But just do it behind closed doors. Stop doing it in public places, on our streets, our sidewalks, and our local parks.
And somehow, I don't even know what the right legislation would be for this, but somehow you got to outlaw taking kids to this stuff. There's got to be some definition of, you know, obscenity that allows you to say,
Amen.
This is not okay for kids.
And
even in a free society, parents aren't allowed to, you know, take their child and sexualize them in this way. I'm just shocked that this isn't already against the law.
Well, it's clearly grooming. Okay.
Yeah.
These guys are grooming these young children to find this acceptable and to show curiosity and to give these guys an entree into their lives.
Oh.
And we've got stories across the nation of these guys actually participating in child abuse after they've groomed these kids accordingly. And I agree with you. Parents should be confronted. Parents should at least be challenged in the public square to stop doing this to their children,
yeah,
if not arrested for doing so.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. All right, folks, you can hear Everett Piper on a regular basis with his podcast, The Rebellion, on podcast apps all over the place. Dr. Everett Piper, God bless you, brother. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate you being a part of Wallbuilders Live. That's Dr. Everett Piper, folks. Stay with us. We'll be right back with David and Tim Barker. Hey, friends, if you've been listening to Wallbuilders Live for very long at all, you know how much we respect our veterans and how appreciative we are of the sacrifice they make to make our freedoms possible. One of the ways that we love to honor those veterans is to tell their stories here on Wallbuilders Live. Once in a while, we get an opportunity to interview veterans that have served on those front lines, that have made incredible sacrifices, have amazing stories that we want to share with the American people. One of the very special things we get to do is interview World War II veterans. You've heard those interviews here on Wallbuilders Live, from folks that were in the Band of Brothers to folks like Edgar Harrell that survived the Indianapolis to so many other great stories you've heard on Wallbuilders Live. You have friends and family that also serve. If you have World War II veterans in your family that you would like to have their story shared here on Wallbuilders Live, please email us at radio@wallbuilders.com. Radio@wallbuilders.com. Give us a brief summary of the story and we'll set up an interview. Thanks so much for sharing here on Wallbuilders Live. We're back to Wallbuilders Live. Thanks for staying with us. Thanks to Dr. Everett Piper. Always good to have him on the program. Back with David Barton. Of course, David's on the road doing this incredible American Restoration Tour with Chad Conley and Faith Wins. We had Chad on yesterday to talk about all that. But David, thanks for taking some time between. It seems like you're doing 50 events a day. I know it's not that many, but it seems like it's 50 events a day. I know it's maybe three or four. But anyway, covering a lot of ground. And it's actually helping with these situations Dr. Piper's talking about, because you're hitting both red and blue cities and telling everybody in the country, churches all over the nation, pastors all over the nation, to get involved.
Can we safely say that most people think California is probably blue? I mean, I think that's what
you haven't said so.
But there are. I was in a church Sunday morning in California, and pastor actually brought up this family-friendly drag show stuff in California, and he just was straight out, just straight said, look, this is child abuse. When you do this, this is child abuse. See, that's the kind of backbone and courage you need. You need people calling out what it is, because if you remain silent, then people start thinking, well, this is mainstream. I must be out of whack because I don't think this is mainstream. And you've got to have leaders talking like that. So that's one of the cool things we are seeing on the road and in these various states and churches, even a place like where most of America wouldn't expect to hear a line like that coming out of California. It's starting to happen in these churches. And so it's great to see Christian leaders like Everett Piper step up and say, hey, not in Bartlesville, you don't. That is not going to happen. And you heard how exercised he was over this. I mean, he really, this is something he's not going to tolerate. And that's really good. You don't want to be tolerant of what you should be intolerant over. And that's part of where America has gotten in such a bad position right now.
Amen.
We've tolerated things that are destroying the nation, destroying the morals, destroying the family, et cetera. And there has to be a point in time in which you start becoming intolerant, even if they call you a hater. And I think this year, last I knew, the right-wing watch has me as the number two hater in America. I think Glenn Beck is number three, so I'll beat Glenn Beck at something. He is less of a hater than I am, apparently. But nonetheless, you just got to take the shots and say, hey, who cares? I don't answer to you. I answer to God. And by the way, I think it might help the nation 5-10 years from now if we can get people thinking right. And so it's just good to see people starting to stand up from California to Oklahoma, from red to blue. We're starting to get voices saying the right thing.
All right, folks, out of time. Thanks for joining us today on Wallbuilders Live. As always, lots of good stuff on our website at wallbuilderslive.com. We always cover the good, the bad, and the ugly. So even as we talk about some of these bad and ugly things out there like these drag shows and other things happening both in red and blue areas. We also want to emphasize the good, and that is that you can stop these things.
Amen.
You can be the catalyst for restoring biblical
Amen.
And constitutional principles
Amen.
In your community. In
Amen.
Fact, I challenge you to become a Constitution coach and start leading the way to restoring this constitutional republic. All that information available at WallBuildersLive.com. We sure appreciate you listening to WallBuilders Live.
Well, well, well. There. Now, let's look at some verses. The last election, I wasn't able to vote. I had my grandchildren with me, went to one precinct, nothing was up front for voting. Yeah. Yep, 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 yep. Well, make sure you get there early tomorrow or make sure you've already voted. But, you know, I'm not sure when the timeline was on the absentee votes, but make sure you vote. Make sure you know. Get on your phone tonight. I'm gonna close extra early tonight because I want you to have time to study in your county. Find out what the issues are that you need to be voting for. And I'm gonna show you, just go right online here and show you how to make it happen because you've got to know what's happening and who you're voting for. And thank God that, as the founder said, our greatest judgment line for those who serve should be their character. And if they have none, let's just make it a declaration tonight. This is the very first election that is going to be won because of the character of the individual. And we will never again vote another dishonest, perverse, wicked, corrupt person into office another day. I declare every long-standing member of Congress that is wicked and corrupt, you get voted out today. Every one of you. Today's the day that America changes red to the blood of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want to give us some verses about righteousness out of the book of Proverbs. All right? And in so doing, we're going to just read the word righteousness it's a very interesting thing to do, and that's just read the Bible. You know, it might not be new to some of you, but hey, let's read the Bible. All right, here we go. Bless you, Sunday. Bless you, Roger. All of our friends over there on YouTube, Brother Dan, Sister Mary, Pastor Rick, we love you guys. Everybody that we can see, we sure do love you. We ask God's blessing on you. And here we go. Wait, where'd my Bible go? Here's my Bible. I searched the word righteousness. And I got 23 matches in the book of Proverbs. A lot of people would have thought that wisdom would probably be the number one term, but 23 matches in the book of Proverbs for the word righteousness. That means out of 31 chapters, there's 23 times that the Holy Spirit spoke through Solomon and used the word righteousness. The first one shows up in Proverbs chapter 2. And let's go to 2:6 through 17. 6-17. Now watch this when you're thinking about voting. Okay? For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. So if you're going to have a judge, Supreme Court justice, they need a man or woman of God. Why? Because God's the one that guards the path of justice. Not just the paths of the world, but he's also talking about justice, which is your judge. Remember, you got three branches of the government, the executive, the judicial, the judges, and the legislative. You can see it right in Isaiah chapter 22, whatever that is. Isaiah says, God is the lawgiver, God is the judge, and God is the king. Verse 9, you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path from the Lord. The foundation of the throne of God is judgment or justice and mercy are the foundation of his throne. Righteousness, I'm missing my verse, but it's coming. Verse 10. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Now here's, this is talking about your vote. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of righteousness, to walk in the ways of darkness. Don't vote for that guy. Who rejoice in doing evil, don't vote for him. And delight in the perversity of the wicked, don't vote for him. Whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. What did we just study? Righteousness will show you how to vote. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to Proverbs 8. Thirteen, and we're going to run down there through 21. 8 through 21. Proverbs 8. What did I tell you? 13 through 21. Doing good, Sunday and Roger. It is time we voted for term limitation. Amen. Amen. I agree with that 100%. Get there, do your job. If you don't do your job the first time you're there, you're fired. 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine. Sound wisdom, I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasure. Wisdom and righteousness go hand in hand. You can see it right here in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to read 1 through 11. 11, 1 through 11. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. That means when the Supreme Court justices weigh it out and they vote for wickedness, it's dishonest. First, may God judge it. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. We don't want you destroyed. You're just destroying yourself because you're wicked. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. So when we elect a wicked leader, he's going to fall. He's going to do it right in front of our eyes. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them. Thank you, Father. But the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. When a wicked man dies, his expectation perishes, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Now, I want to go over here to our to this screen so I can show you how to do this. All right? I have, this is on Brother David Barton's page. It's called the ChristianVoterGuide.com. All right? And so you can just write that down, ChristianVoterGuide.com. All right? Here, I'll do this. I will copy it, and I'll post it into the family thread there. I'll post it into the family thread right here. Make it easy to get to the ChristianVoterGuide.com. There you go. For those of you who are a part of our family thread, oh, you can find it there. And what's going on here? There we go. All right, you can see the effective. Now, since we've got so many people in Michigan, let's click on Michigan. Here is your voter guide and resources. General election information, registration deadlines, October 24th. Absentee ballot request deadline is the 4th. Ballot return deadline is the 8th. Early voting began on September 29th. Here's the offices, Michigan election information, and there's a link there for each of those, Michigan State Voter Guide for information about state races. Click the link below. And Hold on, I lost my. I clicked the link below. There you go. Michigan, all covered races. Jack Bergman talks about what he's done. Liz Hokola. Bob Lawrencer, looks like he's a doctor. All right. Andrew Gale didn't have enough information. Nathan Schuer, libertarian. Jerry Hilliard, liberal. John Molinar, conservative. And then you can go into each of these and click on their stuff, find out who they are, find out who they're, what they're running for, find out who the person is you got to get to that is going to be the right question. Bart Goldberg, look at there. Tim Walberg, that's a good man. Anyways, you can see that. That was right there when you click on that. Now, let me go back to... So what that was is a voter guide right here. Here's your National Right to Life scorecards for the senators. Faith and Freedom Coalition's cards, Million Voices Voter Guide, Ballot Ready, Michigan Candidates. Now let's look at that. All right, there we go. These are the ones that's voting, and all you got to do is find your district so that when you find your district, you'll be able to know exactly who it is you got to vote for. Now watch. Well, that lays it out really good. Then you just find your congressional district, and then if you go over here to their name, that will actually light up, and you can click on that. This is good. This is a very good voter guide. Governor. Did you know you had this many people voting that was running for governor? Donna Brandenburg, Mary Bazuma, Tudor Dixon, Kevin Green, Daryl Simpson, and the Democratic for governor. I like how they got her at the bottom, Gretchen Whitmer. You have to vote for your lieutenant governor. And they got Melissa Caroni, Shane Hernandez down here. Is a Republican, Garland Gilchrist, Libertarian, Natural Law, and Green. And the Secretary of State, make sure you get the right person in for the Secretary of State, because that is one of the most important people you've got in the state is the Secretary of State. State Attorney General. This is another one of those people. This is your highest legal person in the state, the chief legal advisor and the chief law enforcement officer of the state. You've got to have somebody in there that won't put this stuff, allow this to be done to churches and everything else. He's the one that can say that isn't against the law. You can't do that. Michigan State University Board of Education. You got to realize these are the ones that you're going to be elected. These people are the ones that are going to decide what you have for education for your children right here. Overseeing the state's public school. The State Higher Education Board. These are of the most important people. This is the Michigan State University of Michigan, Western State University. So you can see that all of it is right here. It says ballot ready. And so I thought I could find in here a picture of the actual ballot, but for some reason, I guess it would be different for each community. And so if you're wondering where I got all this, I got this off of David Barton's site. Come on. And it's called the Christian Voters Guide. There's a link on there, Christian Voters Guide. So if you go to ChristianVoterGuide.com, and then you can just work through all of these different things, select your state. Now I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to go to my state, North Dakota. Still got a few minutes here. And here's all the information that you need about that. And then here's the iVoterGuide.com over here on this side. All right? On the left-hand side. And I'm going to open it up. There's our state capitol. Boy, it's a beautiful place. And then here's all the people running. We did that a minute ago. All right? On that. So now I wanted to find North Dakota voter guide. Let's try this. No, it's the same thing.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Audrey. Good to have you. I know there's a place right there somewhere. School board initiative. I want to find... Huh. Hey, don't be giving me no countdown like that. What's wrong with you? Somewhere here is the ballot initiatives that you really got to study. It's not on that one, though, so I got to go back here. One of these are going to go back. There it is. Well, anyways, what I'm really trying to show you tonight is not all the issues. I'm showing you there's a website here that you can go to and click on your state, and you will see in there where it is. Ballot Ready Canada, not that. I want the ballot. There you go. Well, isn't that something? Ballot measures. All right. So now let me see what I did here so you can follow along. I was on this screen. All right. I was on this screen, which is ChristianVotersGuide.com. And then I went down here. I want you to see my mouse, North Dakota Secretary of State on the left. And underneath of it was North Dakota election information. When I clicked on that, it sent me here. And over on the left-hand side, you're going to see voters, candidates, political parties, and ballot measures. That's one of the things you got to see. Constitutional ballot number one. Initiative petition, and then it shows you everybody that put it together, and then it's going to tell you what it's all about. It would stipulate that an individual could not serve as a legislator for a cumulative period in excess of 8 years in either the House or the Senate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's about time. And then statute measure number two. Not sure what this is about, but century code. Okay. Anyway, what's the whole purpose of why I did this? To show you how you can find it on your page. It's going to be on the left-hand side under ballot measures. Ballot petition under signature review. Well, I thought we had more than that on there, but that's all right. If that's all it is, that's it. Easiest enough opportunity to do. And thank you, Father, for that. Now, let's get out of all of this. Because I wanted you to see it. If you, and then I want to receive communion right now. And then we're just going to go, we're going to be done for the evening because I want people to have time, if you still need to be able to go get on your computer, get on your tablet, get on your phone and study some of this out so that you know what it looks like when you walk in the door. So you're voting for the right things. I want you to be encouraged and be filled with knowledge. And when you go tomorrow, be filled with the grace of Almighty God. So here we go. Stop the share. Start the camera. Here we go. Let's go from politics and go right into the beautiful communion elements. Glory, hallelujah. Audrey, it's good to have you with us for communion tonight. We love you. Matter of fact, let's end with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we've talked a lot about the vote, talked about a lot about changing our local community. Father, more than all of that, we declare Jesus is Lord in the United States of America. Jesus is Lord. We declare righteousness exalts this nation. And Father, as we now pause in this day, in this evening, and we humble our hearts, and we bow our heads, and we express our gratitude, our thanksgiving, our worship for Jesus and his blood and his righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that was perfect. It's a better blood. It's a better righteousness. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus, we receive the garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness, and we worship you. Just like you said to the disciples that you, with great desire, wanted to receive those communion, the Passover with them. Tonight, our hearts say, we long to receive this communion with you. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. So, let's just worship a minute. Sing this with me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be that living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be that living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be the sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be that living sanctuary for you. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And amen. Turn with me to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. And we'll read the communion verses out of this tonight. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 11 like we normally do. Those of you that are joining us, if this is your first time for communion with us, we welcome you. If you are born again, you're most definitely welcome to receive them with us. If you've never been born again, but you would like to receive communion, there's no better place than right here to do it. We're going to read you all the verses, lead you in a prayer of salvation so you're right with God, just like it says, examining yourself and then receive the elements. So no matter who you are, if you throw yourself into it tonight, when we're finished, you'll be right with God and maybe even receive your first communion right here on the internet with us. Had that happen to hundreds of people. And that's all right, because Jesus didn't say as often as you're in the church building. Jesus said as often as you do this. Here we go. Luke chapter 22, 14 through 20. Luke 22, 14 through 20. When the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 disciples were with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus made a vow right there. 17, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Made another vow. Verse 19, he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 26. As often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. His death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Love is perfected this way, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, Jesus, right now on the throne, so are we in this world. He's the head, and we're the body. Isn't it wonderful? Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. Because there is no fear In love, there's no fear in love. Trauma and fear, get out of these people's lives. Your power is broken. You have no authority over them because Jesus lives on the inside of them and they are free. In Jesus' name, pray this prayer of salvation and receive these elements. Now, in Jesus' name, amen. Some people don't like it ending a prayer without saying amen. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation now. Many churches have focused on the verse that said, if you drink this unworthily, you're going to drink damnation. It's very true. That's a true verse. But it's not to be majored on. The major verse is verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So, you judge yourself. You might say, Pastor, I am a sinner, never been born again. We'll solve that in just a minute. Maybe you've been away from God and are just coming back. We'll solve that in a minute. Maybe you're just a believer. Speak this with me. Everything I'm getting ready to say is from a verse of scripture. It's very biblical. And we want you to pray with me, with us. So Audrey and Mary, Dan, if you guys will pray with us, if you can, I understand you might not be able to, but kick your mic on and pray this prayer with us because it'll help everybody else pray it too. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16. When I believe in you. You give me everlasting life. And I will not perish. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Ready? Say this boldly. Now, Jesus, here's my faith statement. I believe you are the Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Lord. All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life. All the fullness of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power. Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, 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 and amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Now, welcome to the family of God. Welcome. We are glad to have you here with us, and we're glad that you prayed that prayer. Just think about this. You might say, man, Pastor, what is going on inside of me right now? God Almighty just came in and filled you to overflowing with his love, mercy, grace, and righteousness right now. That's what just happened. Because as soon as you said, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus came in. And then for an extra impact, we just have you reach your arms out and say, I receive you. See, Jesus said, to whosoever believes on me will not perish and have everlasting life. And you made that bold statement. So at that moment, you were given the garment of salvation. Your sins were washed and made white as snow. And he gave you the garment of salvation, kind of like when you was a little kid and mama told you put your hands up and then she put the shirt down over you. And that garment of salvation just covers everything about you. All the sins are washed away and you're made white as snow. When God sees you, he sees white as snow, Jesus' blood. You want to do it? Just put your arms up and just think about it. Just meditate in it for a minute. That garment of salvation just coming down across you. It's the most luxurious robe you've ever felt in all of your life. And then the Father brought out the robe of righteousness, which is the robe of royalty you get to have because Jesus gives it to you, his righteousness, to function in every day. And that's that. Some people call it hot honey. Some people call it warm oil. One lady said, what'd you throw water all over me for? And I'm like, we're not going to throw water on you. She said, yeah, look at me. I'm all wet. And we looked at her like, nope, feel your shirt. You ain't wet. She goes, what was it? I'm like, that's God Almighty coming with all of his power to bless you and baptize you in his name. All of that happened in that one prayer. You might say, well, Pastor, how do I become a Christian now? Well, don't worry about becoming a Christian. Just walk with God. You didn't get a church. You didn't get a denomination. You didn't get Christian club. You just had God Almighty fill you. He now lives in here. 2 Corinthians 6 says, do you not know you are the temple, the dwelling place of the living God? And so now you're God's temple. He lives in you. So every day when you wake up, before you get out of bed, just pray. Father, help me walk with you today. And then all day long, talk to the Father, just like he's walking right beside you. Why? Because he's in you. The reason he never leaves you nor forsakes you, because he ain't way out there in the sky. He's right inside here. He's leading you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is healing you from inside. All of the healing power of God is already inside of you. Now, you got to let it out and get it uncovered by religious indoctrinations that's keeping it working. All of it is. All the abundant blessings of God come from within. Jesus said, the kingdom is within you. And it's coming up. And our place right here is to help you find that kingdom and to lead you into those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and stick with us. We know you're not going to be able to make absolutely every time we're on here. We're on here 7 days a week. But let the desire of your heart, the hunger and thirst for righteousness, the ability to overcome sin and no longer fall to those same things in your life, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is what brings that about in your life, not your goody-goody two-shoe way of acting. It's his righteousness that does it. And so that's what we're going to teach you how to do. We got a great program called Read the Word. That is a YouTube playlist. If you search my name, Samuel J. Cotto, and you search Read the Word, it'll take you to that playlist on YouTube, and you'll be able to start in Genesis and go all the way through the Bible. Now, here's why I'm saying all this. Because you need somebody to disciple you in the things of God. My email address is right down there in the description of the program, and I will answer any question. If you email me, I'll give you 10 verses to get yourself studying and memorized, give you some videos to match it. Doesn't cost you any money. And we say it around here, if there's no charge, there's no excuse. All you got to do is get rid of the distractions, the stuff that actually doesn't produce righteousness, that stuff that you do that just frustrates you and confuses you. Don't just take your brain and submit it to mindless things on a TV screen in front of you. When God will fill you with his love, his joy, his peace, and his righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. And just like that, and the angel walked into the room.
Hi, everybody. So good to see you. Oh, Mary's here. I see Mary
and
Mary and
Audrey. And
hi,
Roger,
guys. And Roger
Sunday.
And Sunday.
And all
hi.
The folks.
It's good to see everybody.
Y'all can say hi if you want to. That's all right. I know I'm right in the middle of communion, but it's all right.
Are you?
Hi, Leanne. Love you.
Hi, love you too, Audrey. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, it's so good to be.
That's
we're on team, but no deer yet.
All right. Well, it's you're not in your blind right now, I hope.
No, we're in the camper.
All right. Now, let's receive our communion elements. You might like, I never had anything like that in the middle of communion before. Oh, just hang around here. We have all kinds of exciting stuff happen. And listen, God's not a freaked out God. He loves order. But we're not in a church service. In a public corporate setting, we're here at home in our studio. You're at home in your house. We're studying together and we're learning together. So the anointing of God is just as strong. It just has another impact to it. And so we'll receive our communion elements together now, and then we'll be finished. Now, as we pray over these elements, and then we're going to pray a prayer that you might think is lengthy, but it's very much Holy Spirit written on purpose, because every part of it is a Bible verse that tells about the element. This first prayer is going to be Bible verses about receiving the bread. The next prayer we pray after we receive the bread will be specific Bible verses that talk about the blood of Jesus. This is why we pray the prayer we pray. What is it doing? It is schooling you about what happened when Jesus' body was broken. It is showing you the benefits of the blood of Jesus. Don't just say the words. Get the revelation in Jesus' name. You ready? Pray this prayer with me right now. Hold your elements up. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and
sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes, I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In
my mind, my will, and my emotion. There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Let's receive his broken body together tonight. Thank you, Lord. that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and then you sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank you. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. Every one of these are about the blood, so listen to what it says. By the blood of Jesus, the most powerful cleansing force on the face of the earth. I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission.
I am a new creation. Old things have passed away.
And all things have been made new.
And I thank you for it, Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God. Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome the accuser of the brethren. And there's no more condemnation in my life. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Let's receive his bloodshed together. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for your blood.
Ready? Let's sing a song. Oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. Thank you for your blood, dear Jesus. It washes white as snow. Glory, 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 glory. Don't you love receiving communion with your brothers and sisters?
Amen.
I love the body of Christ. Go, I told you I was going to get you out earlier, and I'm not doing a good job of it, but here we go. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, that's all y'all. You're now born again. You're in the beloved. Jude's talking to you. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Verse 24. These are some of our most favorite verses. Now unto him, say, thank you, Jesus, you live in me. Unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be blessing and glory and honor and power both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Turn the page. From Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:5, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. And I got one more set of verses I'm going to read over you tonight, because I'm reading this every single day over you guys. But I want us all to get it. Watch this. Job chapter 33, verses 14 through 18. And please don't despise prophesying, which is what dreams are designed by God to do, is to be a prophetic word to you. God may speak in one way or in another, and yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleeves probably too. Most people wear sleeves when they go to bed. While slumbering on their bed, then he opens the ears of men. That means he's going to talk to you in words you can understand. And all of the people in their dreams in the Bible, well, not all of them, almost all of them, answered God and they had a conversation with him. Don't you want to have God show up in your dreams and you have a conversation with him?
Amen.
Amen and amen. And he seals their instruction in order to turn them from his deeds and conceal pride from man. Keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. I speak it over you. I speak it over your family. I speak it over your most wayward child or grandson or relative. Speak it over them every day. And then use your faith and declare, this dream they have tonight helps them know God greater than anything that's ever happened in their life. Because that dream, technicolor, maybe even talking to God himself, he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's a good thing. Will change their life forever. And look what it says, keep their soul from hell. Please start naming your people and your family and say it, keep their soul from hell. You know what that means? They'll humble themselves, and they may not see it publicly where everybody can put their eye on it, but it'll happen in Jesus' name. Ready? Put your hands up. Do it with me. We reap every soul into the kingdom tonight.
We reap every soul into the kingdom tonight.
And we declare you understand the message that we spoke.
And we declare you understand the message that we spoke.
And God gives you a dream and a vision to see it.
And God gives you a dream
of vision. Now, we reap the hundredfold return.
We reap the hundredfold return.
Of everything that belongs to us.
Of everything that belongs to
according us. According to Mark 10:29 and 30. So that we can use it to preach the gospel right here. In Jesus'
mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Well,
amen.
That's not all we got, but that's all we're going to say. Sure do love you. May God's blessing and protection be upon you and upon our whole election process.
Yeah.
May every worker of iniquity be exposed to the maximum extent of the law, tried, convicted immediately. Don't violate our Constitution. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Remember this? We love you. You going to join us, Mary, Dan, Audrey? We love you. And God loves you.
God loves you.
And Jesus
is.
And Jesus is Lord.